السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
أمين وإياكم أبا يوسف. How are you?
الحمد لله بخير.
Can we go on with this class?
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, our last readings from our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله أبو عبد الله have had to do with the relationship between we, the Muslims. In the last chapter, which has Hadith 417, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Babu man kariha amthala sawi. Babu man kariha amthala sawi. The chapter regarding the one who will discourage, who will take disavowal with the persons living by very bad examples. So much so that when he is described with very bad similitudes, like someone who barks at people. When he is described and ascribed to a dog, like someone who ordinarily shouts, speaks in very, very deliberately high tones, especially without need. He just shouts when he talks to the people. So they would say, he shouts like a donkey. You know, the Quran had also said, Inna ankara al-aswat lasawt al-hamir. This verse itself is suitable to come under man kariha amsal as-sawt. Because this verse, by that, Luqman was telling his son not to take to that bad example. So if it were in Sahih al-Bukhari, many times people think that Sahih al-Bukhari is just a book of hadith. Sahih al-Bukhari is a book of both the Quran and hadith. One of the things that Imam al-Bukhari will bring on that chapters to discuss a particular matter is what? Verses of the Quran. So if it were in Sahih al-Bukhari, perhaps that verse, Inna ankara al-aswat lasawtu al-hamir, that the worst, most hateful of voices is the voice of the donkey. Perhaps that verse would come under this chapter heading, because that verse is warning us not to take to bad examples. And the hadith we had there under hadith 417, the hadith where Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned his isnad up to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and the isnad is sahih, full of a'imma. Al-Imam Abu Nu'aym Al-Fadl ibn Dukayn was reporting from Sufyan al-Thawri, was reporting from Al-Imam Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, who was also reporting from another Imam amongst the Tabi'un, Ikrimah al-Barbari, who is also reporting from the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhum. And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, laysa lana mathal as-saw, laysa lana mathal as-saw. It is not appropriate for us to take to bad examples. Laysa lana nahnu ahli al-iman. It is not appropriate for us, we the people of iman, as Muslims, as people of iman, laysa lana mathal as-saw. It is not appropriate for us to take to what? Bad examples. And one example of bad example, like the Quran told us in the verse we just mentioned, Inna ankara al-aswat lasawtu al-hamir. It mentioned a bad example, and it showed that it was a bad example. So it is not appropriate for a person of iman to talk like a donkey, to shout like a donkey, to take to that bad example. Likewise, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, here, laysa lana masalu saw. It is not appropriate for a mu'min, a Muslim, to take towards bad examples. So any bad example that you know, don't take to it, especially from the lower animals. Don't be aggressive like the predators will be aggressive. You aggressively related people, don't be aggressive. Don't be a person people deal with and say, this person is very dangerous. Likewise, don't be trickish, and we shall come back to that. But don't take to bad examples. This is what we are talking about. And that taking to bad examples is not from the way of the people of Iman. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, laysa lana masalu sawi. It is not appropriate for us to take to bad examples. Al-a'idu fi hibatihi kal-kalb. Al-a'idu fi hibatihi kal-kalb. One bad example is you give somebody a hiba, a gift, and then you go and take it back. Give me my gift. You gave him a gift yesterday after Salatul Isha. Perhaps you met in the masjid. You gave him a gift. By Fajr, you are asking me, return my gift to me. I have heard of something like that before. Although in that case, it was from the people of Shirk. With a brother, he had to go and say, give me back the gift. So don't take back a gift that you have given somebody. Al-a'idu fi ibati kal-kalb. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who goes to take back his gift, give me my gift. He likened it to a dog. So that bad example is what? Going to take back your gift. So what does the dog do? That looks like taking back the gift. The way as bad as taking back the gift is, it has a similitude. So don't be like that. Laysa lana masalu sawi. It is not appropriate for us, we the people of Iman, to behave like a dog. So what does the dog do that is resembling what a person who takes back his gift does? That is, a person who takes back his gift, he does something. And that thing is like the behavior of dogs. What is it? يَرْجِعُ فِي قَيْئِهِ. That bad behavior of the dog is that the dog goes to take back its vomit. يَرْجِعُ فِي قَيْئِهِ. It goes to take back its vomit. If you have seen where a dog vomits, and then it goes back to take a vomit, it's one obnoxious sight to behold. It's a very bad sight. It's very irritating when you see a dog vomit, and then it goes back and swallows that vomit. This is bad. Now, the going back of a dog to take a vomit, there's a bad thing too that people do that is like that. What is that bad thing? Taking back your gift. So taking back your gift is similar to what taking a dog's taking back its vomit. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, laysa lana masal saw. It is not appropriate for us to take to bad examples. So don't take that bad example from a dog. What is that bad example? Taking back your gift after you had already handed it out to someone as a gift. Now go, take it back. In the last class, there is an exception to this rule, but I did not remember to mention it. As soon as the class ended, someone called me and was asking about it. So I thought to mention it, inshallah, while revising that hadith this morning. And that is what occurs in the riwayah of Al-Imam Abu Dawud of this hadith, where the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, illa al-walid fima yu'ti waladahu. Illa al-walid fima yu'ti waladahu. The exemption to this rule is that of the father. When a father gives his son a gift, he can take it back. In that report in Sunan Abi Dawud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam also said, it is not appropriate, la yahillu li rajulin an yu'tiya atiyatan. It is not appropriate for an individual to give a gift. The Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَيَرْجِعُ فِيهَا, and then he goes to take it back. So he said, إِلَّا الْوَالِدُ فِيمَا يُعْطِي وَلَدَهُ, except the parent, the father, the father. So some say both parents. But here he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, the exemption to this rule. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِلَّا الْوَالِدُ, except the parents. The parents can take back what they give to their children. So it is not appropriate to take back a gift except when the parent takes back the gift from his child. You give your child a gift, you can take it back if you want. Give him a cup. Ah, come. You like this cup? Yes, take. Start wearing. Jazakallah khair, Abu, jazakallah. Hey, come. Give me back. Let that child not say to his father, why are you going back to your vomit? Because the father does not belong in that category. How do we know? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the exemption to that is al-walidu, the father, fima yu'ti waladahu, regarding what he gives to his child. So if a father takes back his gift from his child, he has not gone back to his vomit. And we all know that the vomit is haram. So the same way going back to take your gift is also haram. That's why one of the tabi'un, rahimahullah, al-imam Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sadusi, he will say that wala na'lamu al-qay'a illa harama. Wala na'lamu al-qay'a illa madha harama. And we don't know the vomit to be anything except something that's prohibited for us to eat. A human being cannot vomit now and begin to take back what he has vomited. So the same way, it is not appropriate for you to give a gift and start taking back the gifts. إِلَّا الْوَالِدِ, except the father, فِيمَا يُعْطِي وَلَدَهُ, regarding what he has given to his child. There is another hadith that points to the fact that the father is an exception. You remember that companion that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, to him, أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ, أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِمَنْ لِأَبِيكَ. So if your father gives you a gift and then he takes it back, it's like return, it came back to him. It's like it's his own. It is still within the confines of the things that the Sharia has ascribed to him. So he can take it. إِلَّا الْوَالِدْ فِيمَا يُعْطِي وَلَدَهُ. Before I move to the next chapter, I'd like to quickly stress a point here. What we are saying now regarding this exception, we were supposed to have mentioned it in the last class last week, but I did not remember. It did not cross me, even though I had written it down in my copy of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. I did not read it. I wrote it down. I said, إِلَّا الْوَالِدْ فِيمَا يُعْطِي وَلَدَهُ. Dal. I put dal in the bracket, meaning Sunan Abi Dawud. But I did not remember to read it. This is the benefit of a class that is continuous. If a class is continuous, you may say something today, you give more explanations in the next class. In fact, you can say something today and refute it in the next class. You say, oh, this is what is clear to me now regarding this matter. You affirm it with every vigor and energy. In the next class, you will say, no, that view, I have found out that it is wrong. There is no blame about this. This is how knowledge is. You have a view, tomorrow you can change that view. Tomorrow you can change it again. This happened to many scholars, including Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he's known for Qawlan, regarding Masail. One Mas'ala is a lahu qawla. Lahu qawla. He has two views. He has two views. The same thing as Imam Shafi. So sometimes you have a view regarding a matter. At another time, you change the view if you have an opportunity. So if the class is continuous, those who are continuing in that class, they will be able to gradually understand and go on with the class. Maybe to any lecture. I'm saying this because we are also concerned with lectures now. One Saturday, one sheikh will come. He will give you 1.5 hours talk. He will answer questions in 30 minutes, and you will go. You spend a lot of money. The teachers should engage in classes that are continuous. Classes should be continuous. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had told us that from the most beloved of good gifts to Allah are what? Adwamuha. Those ones that are continuous, wa in qalla, even if they may be small. So let the teaching be continuous. If you didn't mention one thing today, you mention it tomorrow. If you didn't clarify it today, you clarify it tomorrow. If it wasn't expository today, you expose it tomorrow. If it wasn't clear to even the teacher today, okay, tomorrow, inshallah. But if the classes are just one disjointed class, then this kind of follow-up additionals will not be there. Likewise, the student should be regular in class. If the student will not be regular in class, he can go now and say, oh, they've said that nobody should take back his gift. So he will give his son something, and the son will give it back to him. He will take it back from the son, and he will think that what he has done is bad. So he call you, excuse me, I gave my son money, I took it back. Is that lawful? Because he did not attend the next class. If he had attended the next class, he would have known that that matter had been added as an exception to that rule that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, illa al-walidu fima yu'ti waladahu. So lessons should be continuous. And the teachers too should not be in a haste. Sometimes some teachers want to read all the books of this world. Pick one book, stand by it, beg Allah to make it benefit the people. Pick one book, stay with it, continue with it gradually. Beg Allah to make you and what you say to the people to be beneficial. Sometimes somebody wants to read Tafsir Ibn Kathir to the people. He also wants to read Tafsir al-Sa'di to the people. He also wants Tafsir Ibn al-Uthaymeen is also a good book. So you get tired and exhausted. Why? You are jumping from one thing to another. Remain on something. Upon it, you get better. You correct yourself. You make additions. You explain more if need be. You revise what you had done. And this is what is appropriate based on that hadith that we cited, that from the best and most beloved deeds to Allah are those that are continuous, even if they may be small. That hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. So we move to the next chapter in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahmahullah. And we come to hadith 418. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, before that, the chapter heading, it says, Babu ma zukira fil makri wal khadi'a. Allahu musta'an. We said the chapters we have been reading are about the relationship between we Muslims. Don't distance from your brother. Don't be angry towards your brother. Don't begrudge your brother. Don't nurse evil towards your brother. We also say if you find your brother in a position requiring an advice, give him the advice, even in lam yastashir, even though he didn't ask you for advice. But you find him needing an advice, give him the advice. We had said all of these. You see that all these have to do with the relationship between the Muslim and themselves in their gatherings. So another thing regarding this is ma zukira fil makri wal khadi'a. What are those ahadith, ma zukira, the reports, min at-tarhib, about discouragement, fil makri wal khadi'a, regarding al-makru and al-khadi'a. What does makru mean? The scholars of linguistics say that صرف الغير مما يقصدها بحيلة صرف الغير, for you to push somebody away from a particular goal he has in a very silent but quiet and perhaps, I don't want to use the word deceptive, but that is it. the man is going to Lagos, but you continue to tell him that just move forward, turn right a little bit, just turn right a little bit, just turn right a little bit, until he turns towards Ijebu-Ode. He's in Ibadan going to Lagos. His road is a long, straight road for 1 hour to Lagos. Now, from inside the bag, you begin to tell me, hey, if you just turn it literally, there's a road there, we can just go. He will think that they are still going to Lagos. So gradually, you begin to make him feel that he is still upon his path. Meanwhile, the path has changed. When you do this to a person, you have made al-makru. You make him feel, don't worry, just go on. This is al-makru. You have already changed his way, but you make him feel, don't worry, you are still on the path. This is al-makru, and people employ it in many ways. Some of the scholars say that it can be employed for goodness. They say al-makru al-mahmud. Makru can be mahmud. It can be praiseworthy. How? A person is upon particular evil. So you continue to make him feel that, you know, you can just do like this. You can just do it like this. He thinks that he's continuing upon what he is doing, but you are actually pulling him away from evil into the path of goodness. So they say this makru is mahmud. This makru is what? Mahmud. But this is not what we are talking about here. It is al-makru al-mazmum that we are talking about. The makru that we are talking about is the one that is what blameworthy. The man is upon goodness, and you begin to gradually push him, until he finds himself in an evil or in a danger. He was in security before. He was in safety before. You begin to gradually advise him, talk to him, promise him. In fact, sometimes you even threaten him. You manipulate him. Manipulation. Some people are very good at it. Yes, they come to you very softly, then they begin to manipulate you. You wouldn't know that you are being manipulated. Sometimes, in fact, they can also come harsh. So it's about manipulation. This is called what? Al-makru. The man thinks that he's upon what he's upon, but his path has changed. This is al-makru. A word that's close to that in my mind, and Allah knows that this is his deception. You deceive him to feel that he's upon right. Meanwhile, you had pushed him away from his original goal. As for al-khadi'ah, the ulama say that al-khadi'ah to izharu is that the individual should show izharu al-insan ghayra ma fi batnihi. Insan shows something different from what is in his stomach. Like Allah said about munafiqun. Allah told us about munafiqun. يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. They say upon their tongues what is not in their hearts. They say, إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Allah told us that at the beginning of what? Al-munafiqun. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا Nashhadu innaka la Rasulullah. The munafiqun come to you, they will say, Nashhad. We swear, we affirm, we vow. Say it. You can push all of this into that meaning, Nashhad. That's what innaka. Certainly, you, Muhammad, la, you are certainly a messenger of Allah. All these, they are vowing and shouting and affirming, they are all upon lies. They are showing what they don't have. يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. The scholars say this is the meaning of al-khadi'a. Now, if you look at al-makru and al-khadi'a, which one of them has a bigger meaning? And which one of them has a smaller meaning? Al-makru has a bigger meaning. Al-makru has a big, makru is wider, more dangerous. Makru is wider. It includes the meaning of al-khadi'a. So that's why sometimes the both words are used as synonyms. Al-makru and what? Al-khadi'a. Al-khadi'a is you tell him what you don't have in mind. I love you, but you hate him. This is al-khadi'a. But as for Allah Makru, you are pushing him towards evil and he doesn't know. You are doing that stylishly and he doesn't know. So one of the approach to doing that may be Al-Khadi'ah. You'll be telling him, assuring him. And what you say is different from what you have in mind. People do this a lot in relationships, whether inside the family or outside the family. They'll be smiling, but in their hearts is hurt and hatred against you. It may even be between a husband and a wife. The wife would feel that the husband has offended her. So for years, she can bury that grudge. So she'll be smiling, laughing. This smiling and laughing is what khadi'ah. It's khadi'ah. And when he wants to do something good for himself, she'll push him away from it. Don't, you know, and she starts, she wants him not to achieve that goodness. So what is that she's employing? Al-makru. So that was why when in Surah 2, in the Quran, Allah spoke about the du'afa'u and the malak, the weak people, and those who are eminent in the society. Those who are eminent in the society always dissuade weaker people. So the weak people will say, bal makru al-layli wa al-nahar, itta'murunana an-nakfura billahi wa naj'ala lahu andada. So you, it is your plot, evil plans, your evil makr. What is that makru? They make them feel that, no, don't worry. It's don't worry, follow, just follow us. Just do what we are doing. You're on the right path. You'll be guaranteeing them. Meanwhile, they are dissuading them upon away from the path of Allah. That is al-makru. That is why those people on the day of Qiyamah, when both parties will be arguing against themselves. So that is the meaning of al-makru. You'll be gradually pushing that person away. That also falls under what khadi'ah. Because one of the ways to do that is to zhiru lahu ma laysa fi qalbik. You show to him what you don't have in mind. You'll be assuring him, don't worry, I'm with you. But you have evil in your mind. May Allah protect us. I hope that we'll get what al-makru and al-khadi'ah is. These two things are both prohibited. You can see us mentioning munafiqun regarding them. They are not from the things of the people of Iman. So that's why the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, when he spoke about munafiqun, what did he say about them? He says, is a haddasa kadhab. When he tells you something, he lies. He knows that he's lying. That's why he says, inna al-munafiqina lakadhibun. In al-munafiqun, the first verse. They are telling the Prophet, innaka la rasulun. Allah says, wallahu ya'lamu innaka la rasuluhu. Allahu yashhadu inna al-munafiqina lakadhibun. So inna al-munafiqina lakadhibun. One of the ways of the people of hypocrisy, nifaq, is al-kadhib. They lie a lot. So the meaning of that is, this will come under what? Al-khadi'ah. Because that is from the aspects of showing what is not from them. Do you understand? They show what is not inside them. They show to you something else. They tell you something, but they have something else in mind. This is al-khadi'ah. But it can also come under what? Al-makru. We have said that al-makru is a wider word than al-khadi'ah, and they have slightly different meanings, as we have tried to explain. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported to us in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, one hadith about al-makru and al-khadi'ah. And that is hadith 418, where he said, Haddathana Ahmad ibn al-Hajjaj, Qala Haddathana Hatim ibn Ismail, Qala Haddathana Abu al-Asbat al-Farisi, Wasbuhu Bishr ibn Rafih, An Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, An Abi Salamata, An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, Qala, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم المؤمن ضر كريم المؤمن ضر كريم والفاجر خب لئيم. You can find it as خب لئيم. خبون خبون. There are two words. Their meanings are exactly the same. خبون and what خبون. So he said, والفاجر خبون لئيم. The Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, المؤمن غر كريم والفاجر خبون لئيم. You can say خبون. You can say خبون. That hadith occurs as 418. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from his Shaykh Ahmad ibn al-Hajjaj. He is Abu al-Abbas al-Marwazi. He said, Haddathana Hatim ibn Ismail. Hatim ibn Ismail is Abu Ismail. Hatim ibn Ismail. He is Abu Ismail. He said, Haddathana Abu al-Asbat. Abu al-Asbat. Wasmuhu بشر بن رافع أبو الأسباط النجراني اليماني أبو الأسباط النجراني اليماني واسمه بشر بن رافع. His name is بشر بن رافع. عن يحيى ابن أبي كثير. He's talking about يحيى ابن أبي كثير. عن يحيى ابن أبي كثير. His kunya is أبو Nasr. Yahya ibn Abi Kasir. His kunya is Abu Nasrin. This is different from Abu Nasir. Nasir and Nasr. They are two different words. Is it clear? So it's like saying fa'ilun and what? Fa'ilun. So Yahya ibn Abi Kasir, Abu Nasrin al-Basri, reports this hadith from Abu Salama. Abu Salama in this isnad is the son of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, the well-known student of Abu Huraira. And here he is reporting from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu that qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-mu'minu ghirrun kareem. Al-mu'min ghirrun Kareem, al-mu'min, the person of Iman, the believer, the one who believes in Allah. He has attributes. The attributes of the one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and other articles of Iman, as we know them. The person of Iman, girun, he is an izdia, innocent person. Girun, izdia. Is innocent, is there, is innocent, is straightforward, easy going person, girun, is it there, you, if you see him, you like to have something to do with him. This is from the attributes of Iman. You see the man just going, you like to have something to do with girun. He's just going his way, but you like to have something to do with him. So he's there. Any person who sees him likes to have something to do with it. It's straightforward, easy, calm. Kareem, he's Shariful Akhlaq. When he now talks, you saw him, Abi. You like to have something to do with him, Abi. He's a nice, innocent person, straightforward, easygoing person. He's also Kareem. When he now speaks, he's noble. And when he behaves, he is noble. Subhanallah. Al-mu'minu birrun kareem. I wish that we all will be struggling and making more efforts to be like this. Look at how our religion insists and teaches us with every lesson about changing our behavior, changing our character. It says, al-mu'minu, the person of Iman, birrun. Is a dearly person. He's dearly Kareem. He is Sharif. Shariful Akhlaq. He has noble characters. If you see him, he's Gir. You like to have something to do with him. His look, he's well dressed. He's not bobbing the head that when you see him, you start feeling uncomfortable. He's not dressed in any way that brings indecency. and he is Kareem, he's noble, he's eminent as a person. When he speaks, you see honor in it. When he interacts with you, you see honor in it. He will not want to go, let's get it down. Ya saw the Bole Kaja. No, no, there's no Bole Kaja in the life of the mu'min, a person of Iman. So if you find a Muslim behaving Bole Kaja, it is because of little Iman. If a person has sound, huge Iman, you will see he will keep away from these indecent practices, indecent speech, indecent character. In his dealings with people, he's watching what he says, he's watching what he does. He's watching what he says. He's watching what he does. This is the meaning of Gurun Kareem. He's a honorable person in his affairs. So this is the person of Iman. Wal Fajr. On the flip, the other side of it, Al Fajr, the criminal. May Allah protect us. Khabbun La'im. Khabbun La'im. Khabbun is the man's being deceptive. Khida. This is the chapter heading now. He is deceptive. Fajr is deceptive. He's never straightforward. He'll be showing something or he has something different inside his mind. It's not good way for himself to be. Khabbun. This is where Khadi'a and Al-Makru come in. Al-Khadi'a and Al-Makru come in. When the man is what? Khabbun La'im. But the real word itself where Makru falls into in this hadith is that Wal Fajiru Khabbun or Khibbun. He is very, very dangerous, very treacherous. If you relate with him, this man is dangerous. If the people see you dangerous and you are truly dangerous, this is not from the way of the people of Iman. Fajr here are people who are very far away from Iman. They could still be Muslims and they could still be people who are outside Islam. But the point is that they are far away from Iman. Far away. When a person is called Fajr, it's criminal. I don't know a better word to use. So from the attributes of criminals is that they have what? Khadi'a and what? Al-Makru. Very deceptive people. Some people call it diplomacy. Diplomacy has its place. Like when we said Al-Makru, there is Al-Makru al-Mahmud. The Makru that's praiseworthy. Why is it praiseworthy? You are gradually, indirectly, consciously, gently, quietly turning that man away from evil to goodness. You are pushing gradually until he turns. It is from the aspects of Al-Makru, but this is good Makru towards goodness. All that you want, Khadi'a. Non-Muslims, Kufar, Mushrikun, they're in a war with Muslims in a valid, well-established jihad that follows the rulings of Islam, as the scholars repeatedly say. You can't mention jihad except that all the conditions are fulfilled. So let's take note of this. So if in a jihad, non-Muslims meet a Muslim on the way and ask, where is the Muslim army? Yuzhiru ma laysa fi qalbi. What is in his mind is that he knows where the Muslim army is, but he must not tell them. So he tells them something else. Do you understand? He can even tell them to take a way that will dissuade them from going to where the Muslims are. But this is also from Makr. That's why it's a common statement that Al-Harbu Khid'ah. War itself is what? If you want to translate Khadi'a now, here, Khid'a, you will say strategy. You will not say deceit. Because this has to be employed. So it has different places where these things are employed, as we explained at the beginning. But Al-La'im, Al-Khib, somebody is upon the path of righteousness. You want to push him to unrighteousness. That is bad. That is a fajr. Criminals want others to be like them. If you see girls who misbehave in the streets, they want other younger girls to be like them. So they are the ones who will introduce the smaller girls to boyfriends. Useless girls in the streets. They are the ones who introduce the younger girls because she's fajra. She now introduces that innocent girls into, she brings it up on makru and what? Khadiyah. Because she is what? Fajira. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wal fajiru khabbun, is a deceptive person. Laim, very, very bad person in their way of life. Laim. In their basic, the way they are, they are bad people. And then stingy. Somebody who is bad and stingy. He is what? The one who is what? Bad and stingy. It's called what? La'im. So that is, those are the attributes of Al-Fajr. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wal-fajiru khabbun la'im. The fajr is what? Khabbun, deceptive. La'im, bad and stingy. May Allah protect us from this. This hadith is clear evidence that al-makru and al-khadi'ah are prohibited in Islam. Don't be a deceptive person. You're in a relationship, you have brothers, we are talking about a project. You're already planning how you want to deceive them. You're planning how you want to deceive them. You're planning how you want to manipulate the rest of them. May Allah protect us from these evils. I think that will suffice, inshallah, on Hadith 418. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mu'minu dhirrun kareem, wal-fajiru khabbun la'im. The people of the person of Iman is Girun Kareem. Girun Diali Kareem, noble. When you see him, you like him. Kareem is very noble. As for the Fajr, he is what? Khabun Laim. He's deceptive. Laim. Bad and stingy. He's not nice at all in his speech. And in his character. That's why no matter, a person may be rich, he has money, he has this. But when you see him, say, this man is la'im. Why? He is what? Khab. La'im. The la'im is the one who is stingy and he's bad in his way of life. See, when he talks badly. When he behaves to you, he behaves badly. This is from the way of criminals. May Allah protect us. We go to Hadith 419. And this Hadith is a Hadith that Imam al-Bukhari calls it Babu Sibab. The chapter about Sibab Ihanatul Ghayr Bikalamin Qabihin Wajarihin Sa'atal Ghadab Ihanatul Ghayr بكلام قبيح وجارح ساعة الغضب إهانة الغير السباب, which is from like saying سبه سبه يسبه سبابا, that is the verbal noun form of that word. So what is السباب? السباب is إهانة الغير. When you disgrace and demean another person, bikalamin qabih, with very bad demeaning speech, you say bad speech to him, wajarihin, you say something to him to disgrace him, to bring him down, you say something that will impinge on his personality, you just want to disgrace him. You don't want any other thing than that. بِكَلَامٍ قَبِيحٍ وَجَارِحٍ. You just say something to disgrace the person. The scholars say whether that person has that thing or not. Many times people want to disgrace people when they insult them and abuse them. They say things that those people have. They say things they don't have. You just want to disgrace them. So that person is a sab. And what he's doing is what? A sibab. He's disgracing people with negative speech, especially sa'at al-ghadab, during anger. He's angry. He starts embarrassing the people. Many times when we discuss these matters, I'm sure every one of us will be knowing where he belongs or where she belongs. It might be the woman who, whenever something happens, she becomes a sabba in the house, very abusive. Insult the man. They will say, insult the nonsense out of his head. No problem. Just hear what the Sunnah has said about that. The other way around, it could be the man. The slightest excuse, it is insult and abuse. Why? He wants to bring the people down. It's not even a nasiha. Say, stop doing this. Stop this. Stop this. Don't do like this again. This one is bad. This one is, it's not about that. It's about just bringing down the person. So this is bad. And the advice will be on both sides. It is very wrong to be abusive, insulting, demeaning the people and disgracing them. Very bad. The other side of it is that avoid doing things that will make people to disgrace you and embarrass you. Because some of the people will start saying, you see now, don't be disgracing people. You don't also do something that will bring disgrace to you. It's both sides. The only thing is that what we are discussing today is the one who wants to disgrace a man. You want to disgrace somebody. You want to insult him. Somebody was disgraced recently. Somebody told him, you are irresponsible. By the following day, he sent a resignation letter to his place of work. 2 days after, he resigned. So you can imagine what statements of disgrace do to people. When you disgrace him, he becomes uncomfortable with himself. A man, he was insulted, abused. He resigned from work. So for the sake of Allah, let us be careful about this. It appears to me that the time is fast spent, but in 10 minutes, we can quickly explain this hadith, 419. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Ubayyah, Qala Haddathana Isa ibn Musa, عن عبد الله بن كيسان عن إكرمة عن ابن عباس قال استب رجلان على أهل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فسب أحدهما والآخر ساكت سب أحدهما والآخر ساكت والنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم جالس ثم رد الآخر فنهض النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقيل نهضت قال نهضت الملائكة فنهضت معهم إن هذا ما كان ساكتا ردت الملائكة على الذي سبه فلما رد نهضت الملائكة. الإمام البخاري قد حدثنا محمد بن أمية. That is Abu Ahmad al-Quraysh. Qala haddathana Isa ibn Musa, the Shaykh of al-Bukhari in this hadith, Muhammad ibn Umayyah, Abu Ahmad al-Qurashi, he is reporting this hadith from Isa ibn Musa. Gunjar. Isa ibn Musa has a nickname. Gunjar. He is reporting from Abdullah ibn Kaysa. Abdullah ibn Kaysan is a weak reporter of hadith. Abdullah ibn Kaysan in this isnad, reporting from Ikrimah al-Barbari. Abdullah ibn Kaysan is a weak reporter of hadith, is the one who was graded weak, for which Al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah mentioned the hadith to be weak. But like I've always said, there is one of the scholars who also wrote about Zawa'idul Adab al-Mufrad ala al-Sahihayn. Zawa'idu Adab al-Mufrad, al-Adab al-Mufrad, it has Zawa'id. It has ahadith that are not in Bukhari and Muslim. So he titled it Zawa'idu al-Adab al-Mufrad ala al-Sahihayn. The author graded this hadith to be Hassan and cited another isnad that occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. That isnad is also slightly weak. What he mentioned and concluded in his Zawa'id ala Zawa'id al-Adab al-Mufrad ala al-Sahihayn, he concluded that the two reports would strengthen one another to make an authentic hadith, at least Hassan. But here, Al-Imam al-Albani, based on this isnad, he grades this hadith to be weak. So the list of what we can find from it is that it will discourage us from as-sibab, as we can find in other asar and other hadith under that chapter heading. So Ikrimah al-Barbari, the tabi'i in this hadith, reports from Abdullah ibn Abbas, who said that istabba rajulan ala ahdi rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The two of them went into insulting themselves. This one said this, this one, the other one abusing, this one abusing. Because these are human beings, like the rest of the human beings. So things that happen to human beings happen to them. They become hungry, radiallahu anh. They become thirsty, radiallahu anh. So other things that happen to human beings happen to them, such as anger, because they are human beings, radiallahu anh. So istabba rajulani ala ahli rasulillah. Two men insulted themselves during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did it happen? Sabba ahaduhuma wal akharu sakitu. It started that one of them was insulting the first one while the first one was silent. How did it happen that the two of them insulted themselves? It happened that one of them was first insulting the first, the other one, wal akharu sakit. The second one was silent. Wal nabiyyu jalisu. And the Prophet was sitting there, alayhi salatu wasalam. Thumma radda al akhar. Then later on, the second one began to reply. So it became the two of them now. Do you understand? We said two men abused themselves, insulted themselves. Now, how did it start? It started that one started it. The Prophet was sitting down, alayhi salatu wasalam. When the second one replied, فَنَهَدَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, the Prophet stood up, alayhi salatu wasalam. فَكِيلَ نَهَبْتَ, it was said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. نَهَبْتَ, you are standing up, messenger, or you stood up, O messenger of Allah. قَالِ, the messenger was reported to have said, نَهَدَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ فَنَهَبْتُ مَأَهُمْ, the angel stood up, so I stood up with them. It was said that the angel stood up with them. In that report that I referred to earlier in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad, it was said that it was Abu Bakr and Siddiq that the man was abusing. So he kept quiet looking at him. He did not say a word to him. So, but like we said, that singular isnad itself is daif. Just like this singular isnad itself is what? Daif. The other isnad, if I remember, is mursal. This isnad, if I, as is in before us, is what? Daif. So I mentioned that one of those who have uttered Zawaid from Al-Adab al-Mufrad al-Sahihain, he mentions this hadith to be Hasan li-ghayrihi. So it was said that the man was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, even though that chain is not authentic. So the, when the other one began to reply, the Prophet stood up, and when he was asked, alayhi salatu salam, he said, Naha batil malaikatu fanahabtu ma'am. The angels stood up, and so I stood up with them. Inna hadha ma kana sakitan raddatil malaikatu ala alladhi sabbahu. This one, meaning the second person, when he was silent, ma kana sakitan, for the time, for as long as he was silent, raddatil malaikatu ala alladhi sabbahu, the one who was abusing him, the angels were replying that one. Party A, Mr. A was abusing B. When B was silent, for as long as he was silent during that abuse, this hadith says that the malaika, they were the ones answering him. So take it to say, you are mad. They will answer him on his behalf, so to speak. They will answer him. When he was silent, they were answering him. Falamma radda. When the man answered for himself, nahabatil malaika, the angel stood up. So I stood up too. Why the Prophet stood up? Well, the angel stood up. So he stood up, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the lesson is, we all must learn to be able to stomach insults sometimes. We must learn to behave as if we did not hear. Arabs will say that إِذَبْتُلِي تَبِي خَصْمٍ لَا خَلَقَ لَهُ. If Allah tries you with a feuding party, لَا خَلَقَ لَهُ, is a shameless person, he doesn't care, he can say any word to you. فَكُنْ كَعَنَّكَ لَمْ تَسْمَعْ. Behave as if you did not hear anything. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ. Behave as if he didn't even say anything. Just behave, just ignore it, as if he didn't hear. This is one of the lessons from this narration. The other lesson from the narration is that that response from the malaika will definitely be worse than what the other person was saying. Why? Because you are just saying your own causes may not, your insults may not be answered, but theirs are more answerable than yours. So it's at the peril of the person who is insulting people. So the lesson is that don't also be insultive. Don't be a person who feels proud to bring people down in insult and abuse, whether you are writing to them, whether you are talking to them. Some people, they will say, even in preaching, they put insult in it while inviting people to goodness. Insult will be inside it. Some people package the insult and send it as innuendos. Those in the corporate world, you know what I mean. They send it as innuendos. So for the sake of Allah, let us avoid it as much as possible. The other side of it, like I said, is that you also avoid people insulting you and disgracing you. Don't do what you make the people insult and disgrace you. But even if now that happens, you against whom there was a negative speech and negative character, be patient. Avoid what? As sibab. And that's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he spoke about as sibab, disgracing and bringing people down, he said alayhi salatu wasalam, that sibabul muslim fusuk. Sibabul Muslim, fusuk. When you insult, degrade, demean a Muslim, it is fusuk. It is from the aspects of criminality. So it is criminal to disgrace, demean a Muslim. So avoid it. Avoid it. Some people brag with it, with something they should avoid. I think we can stop here today. We'll continue from here, inshallah, in our next class. from this chapter on insulting and demeaning people. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Abu Yusuf or Abu Amir?
No, Jazakum Allah khairan, Shaykhana. Assalamu alaikum.
Amin wa yaakum, Abu Yusuf.
The first question reads, is taking back mahr and other related gifts after divorce, is it connected to the prohibition of taking back gifts?
Taking back mahr after divorce, because you said divorce, so I'll take it technical that you mean talak. To take back mahr at talak is haram. To take back mahr, if a man divorces his wife, he should not take it back. Allah says, "Ata'khudhunahu buhtanan." Will you take it back? That's a big evil. That's a bad thing. So don't take it back if it is talak. But if it is khul'u, one of the procedure for khul'u is that the woman will give the man back what she has collected from him as the marriage gift, as the mahr. Now let's differentiate between al-mahr and ribat, gifts, other gifts. Before marriage, a man can be sending gifts. Upon an understanding with his wife to be proposed, hey, I will marry you. You will marry me? Okay. So yeah, buy me chair. Buys you chair. From the things we need to buy, if you want to marry me, is you buy me chair, you buy bed. So they start buying it as they do in the north. They call it kayan lehe. So you start buying kayan lehe. A richer person comes the following day and proposes to the girl. It happens a lot in the north. A richer man will come and propose to the girl. And then the girl will tell you, I'm sorry. I cannot, please continue. Thank you. I thank you for your cooperation so far. So when she says that, all those beds and mattress and chairs that he has bought for you, just give him, return it to him. Return it to him. Why? It was given to you not just as an abstract gift. It was a gift that was connected to what? Marriage. Yes, a gift, but it's connected to something. So if that thing is not there, you return it. Some of the scholars have this view. If I remember, this is the view of many of the scholars in the Madhab of Al-Imam Malik. Unless he says, okay, take it. I give you. So if it is so connected, but if it is mahar, you married the woman, brought her in the house, she's your wife, you gave her talak, don't take back the mahar. Don't take it back. Allah clearly prohibited that in Surah An-Nisa. And I think again in Surah Al-Baqarah. Don't take it back. But if it is a gift that's premised upon marriage, these gifts are gifts of marriage. Yes, on the day of marriage, we are bringing it. And then marriage, andaga aure, as they say, the marriage becomes cancelled. Those things, he gave it back. He brought a bag of rice, a bag of beans, and all of these. Those who have passed through that stage know things like that. So return those things to the man. Because they have a condition that makes them become yours. If you marry me, these things become yours. So it's not a straightforward, clear-cut gift. I hope it is clear about Yusuf.
No, yes, sir.
No.
Definitely not clear. If a man gives his wife mahr and then he borrowed it from her and he couldn't pay back until he died, what is the ruling?
It will be taken from his estate before the estate will be distributed. The rest of it will be distributed.
No,
do you understand? Is it clear?
No.
That is clear in many verses in Surah An-Nisa. It will be taken out first. Do you understand? Just like the wasiya too. If he has a wasiya, a will. You know, in Islam, there's a difference between the inheritance and the will. So if he has a wasiya, the wasiya will be taken out. Like wasiya, is giving a gift to somebody who is not entitled to inheritance. So it will be removed first. I mean, it must not be more than 1/3, 1/3 of the total estate left behind. It mustn't be more than 1/3. If it is lesser than 1/3, it is better. Do you understand? If it is lesser than 1/3, I am talking about the will, it is better. But the will is different from inheritance. The inheritance have a people that the Sharia has said these people are entitled. Those who are not entitled are the ones who can receive wasiyah. For those who can receive wasiyah, that wasiyah must not be more than 1/3 of the total estate left behind. So from the things that will be removed is wasiyah and what? Dain. Mimba di wasiyatin au dain. So you remove the dain too. And one of the dain is the debt that that man is owing his wife. It will be removed. It may not even be mahar. Men borrow money from their wives. You know, sometimes women could be very rich. They are not going anywhere, but they have money. Take example, our grannies. Our grannies don't go anywhere. And many grannies are richer than us, their grandsons. I always say this, grannies always have money. They will tie wrapper, tie this, tie that. If they start opening those wrappers now, you see money there. I remember when I was an undergraduate, I used to go to my granny to get money. If the supply from home is not fast enough. At that time, there were no phones. At those days, no phones. The phones, there were table phones that you roll. You roll it, it do ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka. You roll it. And the number of homes that have those phones were very numbered. On our street at that time, there were about 3 or 4. And the number of houses on our street were more than 100. So if 100 houses have like 3 phones, how many times can you call? You have to call, tell them they should come and sit down and wait. So you go to public phone booth. You call them to come. You'll be counting the time that they will come. So when the supply was, if the power line becomes delayed from home, I quickly went to my grandmother. She would just say, bring that bucket. When you bring the bucket, she say, open the bag. When you open the bag, there'll be one cloth there. You see one cloth. Say, inside that cloth, there's one small cloth again. When you open that small cloth, bring it. When you now bring it, you now open one wrapper from the cloth. Under that wrapper, they'll still be opening until they'll get to one big lump sum of money. So women are like that sometimes. So if a man borrows money from his wife, and that man dies, the money should be removed from the estate of his wife from the estate of the man and given to his wife before the inheritance. And that is not her inheritance. It should not be mistaken that it is part of her inheritance. It is money due to her from the man when the man was alive. I hope this is clear to Abba Yusuf.
No, my friend. Please, where is the line between being courageous in resorting the abuser as a way of preserving one's honor and a sorrow that is praiseworthy?
We will come back to these discussions in the next class.
No,
sometimes, yes, sometimes it's good to respond. And the best of what is recommended to us is not to respond. But we'll come back to that, inshallah, and subsequently. The best is not to respond, especially if he's saying what is useful. If he's saying what is not in you, say, look, what you are saying is not of me. You. And if he's saying what is of you, that's good for you. It's a sermon. So you see, head or tail, if he's saying what you have, abusing you, you are a tall person. The man is abusing that. Look at you. When we're younger than this, in places where we speak Pidgin English, we call tall people ogologo. So you see, it's abusing you. See, I'm ogologo. So you say, oh, thank you. That's how Allah has given me. If you're already tall, just accept it and move on. But if it is not in you, then it is too clear that the burden is on him. You are tall and it's abusing you that you are short. Do you need to reply? You are a tall man. The man said that, look at you, you are short. Do you need a reply? You don't need to reply.
to head or tail. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahim, we will come back to his, he has poems on these. We'll read some of those poems. So even though it is not from my way to be reading Shair, and I had taken to that advice from him too, rahimahullah. He says, Laula al-Shi'ru. He says, Laula anna al-Shi'ra lil-ulama'i yuzri lakuntu ash'ara min labid. Lakuntu ash'ara min labid. If not that, singing poem, lil-ulama'i yuzri, it will be bringing down the status of a scholar. In our own times now, what we used to know a scholar is that he's singing poem. Here, when a scholar is invited to give a sermon, he will start singing poem. Instead of reading a verse of the Quran or Hadith and explaining it, he will start singing poem. Shafi'i said, Lil ulama yuzri. It brings down the status of a scholar in Islam. He said, if not for that, lakuntu ash'ara min labid. I would have said even more poems than Labid. Labid was a well-known poet among the Arabs shortly before Islam. He accepted Islam anyway. So the issue here, Allahu Alam, I hope that it is clear. And we stop here today, Abu Yusuf. We meet in the class in the evening, inshallah. Wafikum barakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.